Attention, please. Eastern Airlines Flight 19, your holiday cruise to the emerald beauty of a Puerto Rican rainforest, now ready for departure.
Secure ship for sea. Make all preparations for getting underway.
Aye, aye, sir.
Horizons 1 is now departing. Our final destination today, the 21st century.
That will make me happy, little orange girl.
Now then, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
WDW Radio, your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to WDW Radio, your home for all things Disney parks, cruises, movies, and more. I am Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 816, and since 2004, we've been sharing the magic here through the podcast. My live shows every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Facebook and YouTube, blog, events, and more. And whether you're a longtime listener or joining us for the first time, you are part of this amazing Disney family and community. You can find everything you need over at wwradio.com. And this week, I'm going to open up the mailbag to answer your questions about things like convincing your family to visit Disney more often, picking the right resort, dining without the kids, how Disney experiences evolve, and an age-old debate about one of Walt's most cherished attractions. Your question might be next, so be sure to join the conversation. Don't miss our Disney Trivia Question of the Week for your chance to win a Disney prize package, plus a couple of special announcements at the end of the show. Please be sure to sign up for my free weekly email newsletter to stay updated, and when you do, I'll send you a free copy of my 102 Things to Do at Least Once at Walt Disney World book. Follow and connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello. And if you are looking for a speaker for your event, conference, or school, or if you're ready to turn your passion into your profession, visit loumangiello.com. I'll help you or your organization apply lessons from the Disney parks to your business, take your ideas to the next level, and transform what you love into what you do. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Welcome to the WDW Radio virtual table or couch or car or wherever you are comfortable, because this show is all about you, whether you are walking right down the middle of Main Street USA on your way to Cabanas or just dreaming of being there. I'm here to bring you a little bit of the magic of Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and whatever you have questions about, right to you, because today I'm going to open up the inbox and answer your listener email questions. And joining me today is not just a longtime sponsor, but my partner in fun, my travel co-pilot and close friend. She's the Tinkerbell to my Peter Pan. I am a boy who never wants to, nor never will, grow up. She's a little feisty, but full of a little pixie dust and magic. She's the Pumbaa to my Timon. We're all about no worries, bad jokes, great snacks. She's the Dory to my Marlin.
Wait, what?
She keeps me going, even if she forgets where we started. She's the Luis to my Scott Lang. He's Ant-Man, so the joke writes itself. But like Luis, she always has a story, even if it takes a very long while to eventually get to the point. She is, of course, Becky Mankin from Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome back.
I can't talk that fast, but how long does it take you to come up with this stuff? I guess I need to sit down and figure out my own counter attack.
That's why some of them I come up with right on the spot and get a little bit of inspiration. Some of them takes me weeks.
You wake up in the middle of the night going, I have three more, and you write it down really fast. And then
I keep a little notepad next to my bed just in case. But so we are together again doing a little bit or a lot of bit of research for some upcoming special events and plans that we have, adding to the whiteboard one experience at a time. And we want to help you, as Mouse Fan Travel has always wanted to do,
by answering your questions, maybe sharing a few stories, having a couple laughs, and making your next Disney trip and adventure even more magical. So I am going to metaphorically plunge my hand into the large and overflowing and oh so deep mailbag.
It's a storage unit at this point. It's like the largest storage unit you can find at a you store it in Orlando.
Right. And like that, I literally am not even going to like turn on the lights. I'm just going to stick my hand in. I'm going to grab whatever comes out and see. We're going to try and be quick, but no, really quick, but thorough. I need to say it a lot because it makes me feel, because it really is my plan. Quick, but thorough. But we never know what we're going to get or how long it might take to address.
The box of chocolates of podcasts right here. It's the whatever you're going to get when you're going to bite into this little nugget.
All right. So again, I'm just reaching in like I'm like spinning the wheel and it just lands on Wayne Denny. And I'm answering this one because it says, hey, Lou and Becky with a question mark. And Becky?
I was going to say, you didn't do that right, but okay.
Sorry. I've been to Disney World 3 times in my life, and my first time, I was 38 years old, was the most amazing vacation I've ever been on because of my wife's continuous planning while I poked fun at her for the 9 months of setting up fast passes, oh, how I miss you, and dining, thinking it was just another amusement park, and wow, was I wrong, and now the only place myself and two, oh, God, this is the longest run-on sentence ever, two of us want to go is Disney World. I love you, Wayne Denny. How do I convince her to make this an annual destination instead of once every 3 to 4 years? I honestly want to move there. We'll talk about that coming up soon. And become an annual pass holder and gold multiple times per week. But I'll start with once a year just because it's going to take a lot of convincing. Also, on a side note, on our third trip down, we did a land and sea trip, which is my first ever cruise, not just Disney cruise, but first ever, ever cruise. We had 2 park days, 4 cruise days. I feel like I got gypped on both ends. The world was not long enough and the sea wasn't long enough. So we won't be doing that again. Help me, Lou and Becky. You're my only hope. I love you guys. And thank you all for the Disney knowledge I now have. So, Becky, if I'm reading this, what the question he's really getting to is how does he convince his wife, who sounds like she's also a Disney fan, to make going to Disney World an annual destination instead of going every 3 to 4 years, which is just lunacy.
Well, the great thing about Disney World in particular is if you start at the resorts themselves, every single resort has a different experience. So, while it's all in Orlando or at Disney World, you can go to a different resort and have a different experience, right? There's different things to do at the resorts. If you stay at Animal Kingdom, you can have an entire African adventure just being at the resort there, as opposed to staying at, say, Contemporary, which you're going to be right there at Magic Kingdom. So part of it is coming up with the fact that you're not going to have the exact same experience every single time. So if you're trying to come up with bullets to convince her to, on the surface, go to the same park every single time, that's the spin you need to do, is that it's a different vacation every time you go, as long as you change it up. And you can do that at resorts, in your dining, at the tours that you do, the things that you choose to do. You can make it a different experience every time.
So first things first, Wayne, let me help you out. What you should be doing is saying, honey, like, kudos to you for your stellar planning skills, because I know how much work and care and time goes into those 9 months of making spreadsheets. A little bit of buttering up, Wayne, is going to go a long, long ways. Top 10 reasons why you should come once every year. Yes, look, this is one of the things I love and has allowed me to keep doing this for 20 plus years is... it is a constantly changing, constantly evolving thing. You can go to the parks one day, go back, forget 3 years later, you go back a year later, go back a month later, go back a week later, and it's going to be different. There was, oh, I don't know if I ever, eons ago, like way back machine, like back in like 2004, I had started a section on my site. I'm like, I'm going to like post all the little updates that are happening at Disney World. Hi, I'm Lou Mangiello, and I'm a crazy person.
3 years later, you finally got one of those tips.
No, it lasted about a week, because I'm like, I can't keep up with how quickly, and that was 20 years ago. Now it's exponentially higher. So, I mean, that alone is reason to go. But Wayne, I'm going to talk to you. Come closer. Sit down at the table with us. I think one of the ways that you can approach this, especially if you clearly don't need convincing, it's your wife. One, I would highlight sort of the you know, Beck, I think you very much like this. I think we are more about memories over material, right? We would definitely rather have experiences over material things. Highlight to her, every trip is going to create these incredibly cherished memories at her family. She sees just how much you enjoy it. There's always something new to do, etc. Plus, if you go more often, you'll sort of like spread the magic out, right? So by going every year, the pressure to try and do it all in one trip every 3 or 4 years is drastically reduced. The stress goes down. The arguments go down. Trust me, I've been there, brother. I get it. If you go, there's also a money-saving aspect, right? If you go, annual passes are going to save you money, especially if you use those discounts on dining, merchandise, special events, rooms, etc. Plus, if you do a bunch of smaller trips, it'll be sort of at a lower cost, so it's easier on the budget. Again, I'm trying to reduce the marital stress going on there. Look, we even have background music now. And wait, I think you could also really sort of lean into and play to her planning strategies, right? She loves, obviously, the planning aspect to it. I am a recovering spreadsheet guy, right? So a yearly trip gives her something to plan and look forward to without the long gap in between. What? Why are you waving? Why are you giving? What are those gestures?
Because you're assuming that she enjoys that piece of the planning. Because some people do it because they are, well, you and me, we're type A personalities and we want to make sure everything is detailed.
Becky, she spent 9 months setting up fast passes. So she clearly loves this, or she's a glutton for punishment.
Or if she doesn't love it, but she was doing it right, then she could use a travel professional.
Saw that one coming 6 miles away.
Exactly. To help take the stress and the pressure and the time off of having to do 9 months worth of planning every single year. So if it's about that, or if that is part of the pushback, use a travel planner that is free to you that helps with all the planning pieces.
I mean, she can still do her spreadsheets if she likes doing them anyway. And the other way I would sort of think about this too is you can also kind of get creative with the frequencies. Use milestones, use special occasions to help justify the trips, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, recovering from a sad football season. I'm not speaking from personal experience. And even just one of those like, honey, let's just go away, just the two of us. We could make it if we try, just the two of us, you and I. I mean, I don't want to sing it out loud. So, and look, in the alternative, why not just move to Disney? Like, let's just get right to it. We will talk about that on a future show. But I think, Wayne, we've hopefully given you and your wife more than one reason to come even more frequently. And let's just admit, it's just super fun. And there's always a festival going on.
And if you really like that land and sea experience, there are other cruises, there's other cruise lines, there's other ships from Disney. There's all kinds of things that you can add into that that makes it different as well.
Just move to Disney. Josh Babcock says, hey Lou, Kirsten and I are planning a trip to Walt Disney World and have trimmed our resort list down to Caribbean Beach or French Quarter.
Caribbean.
Tomato, tomato. I'm going to put a poll in the clubhouse. Do you pronounce it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean.
I think it, no.
Yes.
It's Pirates in the
Caribbean.
Wrong.
Yes.
It's Pirates in the Caribbean, and it's Caribbean Queen. Just ask Billy Ocean. Now we're sharing the same dream. Don't make me start singing. Whatever.
There's a question.
Right. Caribbean Beach or French Quarter? As the resident expert, I was wondering if you could weigh in. We've never actually stepped foot in either resort. Huge mistake, Josh. Even if you're not staying there, there's reason to go visit. So any help would be awesome. Thank you. I will let you, ladies first, Caribbean Beach or French Quarter?
Caribbean. And for me, and it totally depends on you and what you value and what you want in your trip. So for me, I look at Caribbean Beach, and having the access to the Skyliner is probably inches it over Port Orleans. Did they say Riverside or
French Quarter.
French Quarter. So that it would inch it over French Quarter for me. However, there's something to be said for French Quarter that is smaller and more intimate, and you can still take the boat over to Disney Springs. But I think for me, the theming of the resort makes all the difference. If you really enjoy the Caribbean and the quick Skyliner that gets you to two of the parks, for me, that's what would be the weighing factor. There's also all of the amenities that you have available to you, all the restaurants. You can easily get to the Riviera as well. It's so much easier to get around and take advantage of the amenities that are in the resorts right around you. But same can be said for French Quarter, because you also have Riverside there. So you got a lot of access to different restaurants there too. I personally would lean toward the Skyliner just for ease of getting around.
All right. So let's sort of just break these down one by one. Caribbean Beach, obviously, vibrant colors, laid back atmosphere. You have a lot of different dining options. Like you said, the Centertown Market offers island-inspired meals. It's a quick service. And there's also Sebastian's Bistro, which is table service. Excellent food. I have not done a live dining review there yet, but I promise it's coming. There's also the Banana Cabana Pool Bar, which has like great drinks and snacks. There's an awesome pool there. The Fuentes del Moro pool is great. There's a pirate-themed splash area. Again, you mentioned that the Skyliner access. One thing about Caribbean Beach is that it's very large. It is broken up into a number of different villages. And while that walk is very scenic, walking from some rooms to the main central hub and the Skyliner can take some time. So if that's a, depending on what you want, if convenience, make sure you ask your Mouse Fan travel advisor, hey, I want to be close to the Centertown Market area. I think couples, families who want that theme and the convenience of the Skyliner, I think Caribbean Beach is a great option. Now, Port Orleans French Quarter, the first word that comes to mind is it's quaint and it's charming. And I love the cobblestone streets and the ironwork, very reminiscent of historic New Orleans, which is my favorite city in the United States. I think the rooms are, they're cozy. They're compact. They have that, they really do have that sort of sense of Southern charm. I like the fact that it's the smallest resort on property. For me, like,
you just like the beignets, but you know.
No, it's not even the beignets. Listen, there's a lot of reasons why I like it, but it's not just the Sasagula Floatworks and Food Factory. It's not just Scat Cat's Lounge, which is a super chill, awesome place to go at the end of the night. They have a great bar menu there. Yes, you can get beignets next door, but I love the cool little jazz trio there. The Doubloon Lagoon Pool is nice. It's quiet, but it's still fun for families. Skyliner versus boat, right? So you have the Skyliner at Caribbean Beach. You have the boat service at Port Orleans, both French Quarter and Riverside, which is an easy walk right next door that can take you to not just other resorts, but to Disney Springs, which is super convenient, especially if Disney Springs is sort of your after park or nighttime kind of thing to do. I like the fact that you can enjoy the amenities not just at this resort, but at Riverside next door. And I like the fact, too, that it is calmer. I think it's more quiet. So if Skyliner access and maybe more dining options is important to you and that vibe is more yours, I'd go to Caribbean Beach. If you value the smaller, quiet, more walkable resort, like I even love the fact that none of the buildings there are more than 2-3 stories in French Quarter. And you want that easy boat access. And you sort of like the charm of New Orleans. So if I were you, like Wayne, I would talk to Kirsten, ask her about what her priorities for the trip would be, whether it's transportation, dining, resort size, etc. What are her preferences?
And a little more quiet. That's the other thing. It's all to personal preference. If you're looking for something that's a little bit more vibrant and active for your vacation, or if you're looking for something that's got a little bit of a, just a take a deep breath and relax, that'll help to decide which one you should be going to.
John Martignano says, subject line says, should we update the Carousel of Progress or leave it as Walt intended? You decide if you're in or are you out. John, I dig this. He says, Lou, love the new show segment. Wanted to provide some feedback on the following question. Should we update the Carousel of Progress? Go with me. Maybe this has come up before, but instead of changing the last show scene, they should replace the first show scene, the oldest, to something more current or near future. They could then rotate the stages so the current second scene is now the first show scene and the newer scene is now the last scene. I see what you're throwing down here, John. They could do this every now and then. just replacing the oldest scene. Becky Mankin, should they update the Carousel of Progress or leave it? Now, you say as Walt intended, I would sort of asterisk that because we don't know what Walt intended. We don't know what his plan was every 5, 10, 20, 40 years, whatever it's been. If he was to pop back, I'd be like, what are people doing? Why have you not updated this attraction since ever?
Yeah. All right. This is one of those that I could easily argue both ways. But for me, I would personally like to see it updated to connect with the generations that are going on right now, because you get kids that are going in there. They're maybe not connecting with the information that they're seeing.
Do you like making Walt Disney cry? I don't know. It's like children and Walt Disney.
I knew you were going to like do that to me, but I personally do like the fact that things progress. You get new pieces of the story and still hold on to the overall message of the attraction. I'd like to see it grow a little bit and not go back, but to go forward.
So look, you know, this was created, you know, by Walt and the Imagineers for the 64-65 World's Fair as a celebration and a showcase of
60 years ago.
Good on you. Look at you mathing of technological progress and innovation, right? So that's sort of, I think, baked into what the attraction's original intent was. I think Walt envisioned it as a showcase of progress, hence the name, maybe intending to have updates to reflect some of the advancements in technology, and more importantly, daily life, right? What does daily life look like for people? So you suggest updating the final scene, sort of moving the rotation so that 2 is now 1 and then adding. I mean, I think there's benefits to it, right? I think that it keeps the attraction fresh and relevant. However, you run into the same exact problem that you have with that attraction and all of Tomorrowland is the day that it opens, it's the technology's outdated because something new has already come in and kids are like, why is he holding an old flip phone? Why is grandma still playing that 8-bit video?
If they recognize what a flip phone is, because a bunch of the things, you look at it and you would go, what is that? What is the thing in the background? So again, trying to make sure that people can connect to the attraction with those memories and those thoughts and get different generations to talk.
I think you have to sort of figure out a way to strike the balance of the historical charm of the attraction while integrating new innovations. And by adding something new, I think you encourage repeat visits as guests would be experiencing evolving updates over time. So on one hand, this is the recovering attorney in me. Right? I can argue whatever side hires me, I can argue. An argument for updating is that you stay true to the spirit of progress, which is what Walt himself championed. It allows the attraction to reflect technical advancements as quickly as maybe they can do it. Remember, updates are also expensive. I mean, shutting the attraction down. You could also inspire maybe future generations, appeal to younger audience members who, you know, look, I think there's a lot of guests who don't connect strongly with a lot of these older scenes. However, on the other side of the coin, you can also make an argument to preserve the nostalgia and the historical integrity of the attraction that is so closely connected and tied to Walt Disney's legacy. Like, his handprints are very much all over this attraction. And maybe these quote-unquote dated scenes act more as, they sort of serve as a time capsule showcasing what life was like in earlier eras. I think there's something to be learned for kids and adults to see just how far we come and what day-to-day life. Look, there's a part of me that wishes I could go back to those days and live in a much simpler time with no cell phones and things like that. But, you know, you want to make Disney fans lose their marbles, tell them you're going to change something. Tell them you're going to change something that Walt touched. And yeah. So, you know, maybe there's a way to add subtle nods to modern day advancements while keeping the charm. But I don't know how you do that. This would be a good, I think this is a good in or out question. And I think maybe this is a good Wednesday Night Live discussion point. And this is a good Nation Call discussion point too.
That would be a great question for the Nation for sure, because it's easy to argue either side and both sides are right and both sides are wrong, depending how you look at it.
I would, like, assuming that, you know, they could answer freely. I would wonder if we were to ask Imagineers, if you it, you can knock yourself out, what would you do? Would there be sort of this, the traditional, sentimental, nostalgic, keep it the way Walt had it? Or I'm sure there's also a number of people that feel that it needs to be. I wonder what sort of designs are sitting in the Imagineering archive somewhere of people who have proposed changes to this attraction and what those look like and if we'll ever see those come to light.
Wouldn't that be fascinating to pick into that and get that detail? Because we know all the time they come up with great ideas in Blue Sky. Some move forward, some get shelved. And I bet you're right. There's got to be something on a shelf about this.
All right. This next one comes from Freddie from Long Island. Long Island is one word. Long Island, New York. Love the show. Been a listener since episode one. Thank you. I would not be. That's a lot of. Yeah, I would not be if it wasn't for you. Me, my wife, Becky, don't react. And our two young kids, 2 and 1 years old. Aw. We'll be going to the world for a week to celebrate our anniversary and our son's first birthday. My mother's going to be joining us down there for a few days and has offered to watch the kids so we could go out and celebrate our anniversary. We were thinking California Grill, but our question is this. Can we return the following night with our kids and show our receipt to go up top to watch the fireworks? Or is there some other place you'd suggest that me and the wife go for a night out without the kidlets? Thank you for all you do. Freddie from Long Island. Freddie, I got good news and I got bad news. Cause you're almost like Tiana said, you're almost there, man. If you go to California Grill and you have an early dining reservation, you can return later on that night with your receipt and go outside on either of the two outside areas and watch the fireworks. However, you probably can't come back the next night. It's very much a same day policy because I think there'd be, you know, issues if we're sort of just coming back day over day. However, I come to you not with bad news, but with suggestions. Right? I'm never gonna sort of just leave you like so. I think if you want to enjoy fireworks with your kids on the following night, I think there's some great options. But I think there's a new great option, which may be the best of the great options. So. One, you can go to the Grand Floridian Marina. It's a great place, often usually not crowded at all, to watch the fireworks. It's very peaceful there, super, super chill. You can go to the Contemporary. There's a couple of different places you can watch the Contemporary. I went live from this spot, which I think was sort of like a relative. I mean, I'm obviously not the only person who knew about it, but I was like, do I go out here and tell people that this spot exists? If you head to the fourth floor and you head to the far side of the Contemporary of the Grand Canyon Concourse, off to the left-hand side, there's a little fourth floor observation deck that's accessible to all guests and there's seats there. You have incredible views of the show. And you know what else you have? No problems walking out of Magic Kingdom, like on the way out. The Polynesian Beach has always been a great spot to watch with your family. But now, if you can do it, time it just right, Waialulu Bar may have the single best fireworks view. You get one of those little spots in a little booth, got a little nosh with the little kidlets. That's a good night right there.
That's the newest spot that's available. And I have not seen the fireworks from there, but I can see exactly what you're talking about. I'm sitting here biting my lip as you were telling them about that level 4 observation deck because it's a hidden gem. And much like the first 2 weeks of December, we don't want to tell everybody about these hidden gems, but that is definitely one of them. And as you were talking about the poly, I was, of course, thinking about way back when the beach was fully open, it was easy to go there. Now it's not as easy and it doesn't have as much space. But like you said, the new tower has that opportunity if you can get a table.
And that new tower, Becky Mankin, I'm not saying that we should like get separate rooms there and do a show from there because those views are incredible from the rooms and those giant two-story sort of viewing areas on both sides. But I'm staying there. Of course you're staying there. Because your mom is so graciously offering to watch the little ones, which I think is a gift for her and a gift for you, I think I want to quickly throw out a couple of ideas for some romantical and unique dates, night options to celebrate your anniversary. So you mentioned California Grill. I think Topolino's Terrace is a wonderfully romantic rooftop dining, French and Italian cuisine, gorgeous views of Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios, especially at sunset. Plus, you can see some fireworks from there as well. We did a live review of it. Narcoossee's. I hadn't been to Narcoossee's in years. It's beautiful views of Seven Seas Lagoon. Again, if you get a spot by the window, if you time it just right, you watch fireworks from there too. And you get the added bonus of the electrical water pageant. And they pipe in the music as well. Jiko is another great sort of anniversary, date, nighty kind of play. Just get the mac and cheese. I promise you, it will add new layers to the romance of your...
What? Put that back on the menu?
Well, why would I mention it? I'm not that mean, Becky.
Just checking. It's been a while since I was there. And the last time they had it off the menu. But everybody keeps asking to put the mac and cheese with the filet mignon. So hopefully they've made it return. But that's why I'm like, guess where I'm going to dinner when I get back there, if it's back on the menu.
If you want something a little more casual, I think Wine Bar George, especially if you sit upstairs outside on the patio, you can watch, you can see the balloon, you've got the water, you've got the band outside, and I would be remiss if I did not talk about the Boathouse. It is still, all these years later, the waterfront dining, the live music, get a little romantic amphicar ride action going in there. It's, so obviously... Think about the timing, not just of when you're going to go time of year, but of when you're going to make your ADR if you want to sort of go. Are you looking for sunset time? Are you looking for fireworks? And make every moment magic.
And those ADRs that get you at some of those locations where it's going to be just ending right at the fireworks, they go fast. So make sure you make that res as soon as that window opens.
All right. Let's see. Let me quickly go. Okay. Oh, no, wait. I think this is a good one. I have a feeling this may be our final question because I think it's not going to be a quick one.
Are we going to argue?
We never argue. Never, ever. Doreen Wallen says, I've been thinking about how our Walt Disney World trips have evolved. In the beginning, with small kids, we ran from ride to ride and spent much more time in the parks. 30 years later, we're retired. Congratulations. And often go as a couple and spend more time reading and relaxing at the resorts. Are we unique? Does everyone's experience evolve from, quote, all the park things to more, open quote, relax inside the Walt Disney World bubble? I think this is really interesting, Becky, because I think there is, for those of us who have gone over a number of years, whether it's because you went with your parents, which is I did, or then you went with friends or spouses, and then you go with kids, there's sort of this multi sort of generational transition that happens. But even if you've been a solo traveler and you've sort of just gone year over year, talk to me about how are they unique in that their experience evolves from just trying to do all the things as often as you can to just a little bit more laid back and relaxed.
Not unique at all. If you are a frequent guest at Disney World, you're going to experience it differently as you progress in your vacations. And I see a lot of people who start out with I have spreadsheets and I'm there for 9 days and I have to be there at rope drop and I've got to be there until the kiss goodnight and just really frantically trying to do every possible thing because they think they'll never go back. Of course, when they go back every year for the next 4 years, pretty soon it becomes, all right, I'm going to hang out at the pool today. And then in the afternoon, I might go over to Magic Kingdom and ride one of my favorite rides. And so everybody does evolve in their vacation experience. And I've seen a lot of people that go from to empty nesters that still go back and enjoy, read books by the pool, have a great dinner. The next day they'll go to the park, but maybe they're not going to run around and do rides. They do some of the backstage tours instead. Or they enjoy a little bit more time in Downtown Disney. I mean, there's so much to do for so many different tastes of vacation experiences. or just experiences that you could, it does fit as you grow your family and as your family ends up having their own families.
So first, I thank you for sharing this. I love this sort of this sharing this journey of Disney memories that go over 30 years. Look, and I remember when I was a kid, and I feel so bad now, and I can't apologize to my dad or my mom anymore, but all I wanted to do was be in the parks. And when we weren't in the parks, I would get so mad and so frustrated. I'm not really sure, the memories are cloudy, how that may have actually been articulated by me, probably not in the best way possible, but that's it. Like, that's all I wanted to do. And then as I got older, I started to get that. So you're not unique. I think all of us as Disney fans, we experience this natural evolution in how we enjoy, right? I think early trips with young kids or as young kids, we focus on maximizing the park ride time, hitting as many rides as possible, experiencing every single character, and then soaping up. And then as parents, I think we feel like, well, we need to soak up the magic for the little ones. And then as we get older, the pace starts to slow. And all of a sudden we're focused on, you know, experiences that aren't attractions, but experiences that are dining, like, which I never thought as a kid, like, food is just energy that you needed to, like,
soccer, dining, and you. It's like all of a sudden it becomes not about the rides, but what is the cart outside of the ride that I can kind of chimichanga?
And I think as we get older, the quote-unquote bubble expands, right? It's not just limited to the four corners of each of the parks. It's now Disney Springs. It's now the resorts. And like I did on a show relatively recently, I shared some of our favorite experiences, quote-unquote, outside the Disney bubble, but I still sort of feel they're in the Disney bubble because they are these, you know, dining and recreational and resort and relaxing experiences. So I think you go through that, all the parks phase, and then that balance phase, you start to get this increased appreciation for things like sit-down meals and, hey, let's choose our resort because of the amenities that are there, the resort pools are there, or maybe the ability of to go and take midday breaks. So the parks still remain central, but then there is less urgency. And then, as you said, you sort of evolve into this relaxation phase, right? It's more about soaking in the feeling of Disney rather than the attractions of Disney. So prioritizing your resort stays, the dining experiences, leisurely exploring the property, like you said, doing some of those add-on tours, things like spa days and golf and resort hopping and, you know, maybe some of the premium ticketed experiences start to become some of the things.
Spending a day at the Wild Africa Track, for one. That's something that some people don't even know exists.
Or, like you said, just enjoying the quieter moments, like reading by the pool. I've never actually done it, but I've wanted to for years. Like, we talked about Port Orleans French Quarter, like taking that walk in between the two resorts, going to Fort Wilderness and just walking around that property or going to see holiday decorations or sipping your coffee while you're watching the animals on your Savannah View room booked by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, of course. And I think, you know, as I was reading the question, I said, I think this was what Walt, going back to the Carousel of Progress, right? I think it's what Walt wanted. To use my mom, he used to say, it's how Walt wanted. I think it's what Walt wanted. He wanted a place for families to have fun together, but it was designed to offer something for everyone at every life stage, right? I think it's a testament to the flexibility of the resort that can accommodate both the high energy rope drop commando style park visitors and the slow paced relaxing things. Because I think as life changes, I think some of our priorities do as well. And as you know, when you have young families, you're drawn to the magic and of the parks. But then maybe, you know, couples and retirees, you start to appreciate, I think, more some of the subtleties and the immersive storytelling and the experiences. And I think that's sort of the encompassing magic of this, you know, Disney bubble effect.
Yeah, because it sticks with you. I mean, so many of us have started as kids going to Disney in some way, shape or form. And as you said, the emotion sticks with you. So it's not just going and riding an attraction, but it's the feeling of Disney. And I think that's what brings so many of us back over and over again and want to be part of that, because the feeling is addictive in a way. And I love the fact that you can go to different places, not just Walt Disney World, but Disneyland, or venture over into Disneyland Paris, but still have that exact same feeling no matter where you are on the planet.
And you know, her question was, does everyone experience this? And I'm sure somebody's listening going, no, Lou, I am still a
park. There you go.
As the old man in the room, trust me, you will. Like, it's what our parents say. You know, someday you'll understand what I'm talking about. Someday you'll understand, because I think while not everyone may transition in exactly the same way, I think many people do find that their trips evolve over time. But it's about finding, I think, almost that cadence, that rhythm that suits your life stage and, more importantly, your personal preferences. And that's why sometimes, you know, traveling in a big family is a great way to test the love of your familial bonds. But I think this is a really interesting question to ask our friend who's sitting here virtually with us with the live music in the background. How have your Disney trips changed over time? Do you still focus on the parks? Have you discovered a new way to enjoy the quote-unquote Disney bubble? And where does your Disney bubble sort of begin and end, right? I think as a local, my Disney bubble, I define it differently than when I first came here as a guest.
See, and that was one thing I was going to ask you is, it had to have changed when you moved to Disney, because when you were there before, you would visit, you would go to the parks, you would do all the things. But as a local, you don't visit the parks as much as people would think.
I get this question all the time. And especially like when I go and I just had this, I spoke at a corporate event. And the first question I got was, so do you go to Disney World every single day? And I said, no. I said, you know, I'll bet you 95% of my job takes place at my desk. And she looked at me like, but you're like the Disney guy. You're not there every day. I'm like, no. Like I would, and I love the fact that I'm not there every day. And I didn't take my kid, like my kids, when they come home from school, I'm empty nester. I don't want to bring them, talk about it because I'll start to cry. When they come home and we go, it's still special. And it's still special for me because I don't go every day. But when I do go to the parks, whether I'm going alone to do research or for an event or we're doing something as a group, I do find that the way I experience and what I enjoy about the parks is different. I can go to the park and I don't have to ride anything anymore, right? And look, that's a blessing. It's a gift that I understand the proximity in which I live is very difficult for somebody who lives on the opposite side of the world and can only get there one every few years. But what I'm trying to say is, I think just over time, our experiences have changed and evolved. And I think our individual evolution reflects the beauty and the I still consider the place magic. I do. I know it's stupid, but it still feels that way to me. And I think that magic adapts to meet you wherever you are in life. So whether it's running through the parks or reading by the pool or eating maybe at the boathouse, like you're still creating your magical memories in the way that it meets you.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way to say that. And you're so correct. How we change, how we evolve. I don't live there, but I do frequent there for business.
And you basically live there. You're there more than you are at home.
Wow. No. Well, maybe more than I'm home anymore, but okay, got it. However, it's different for me because when I walk into the parks now, I don't feel that need to run to make sure that I'm the first in line at Peter Pan. However, I do know that sometime in my day that I'm there, I'm going to go on the people mover and enjoy a nice leisurely stroll around the park because I get to take it all in a slow way that allows me to really soak in and love the atmosphere.
Right. It's about the place. It's not about the attraction. But yeah, I want to hear from you. How have your Disney trips changed over time? Do you focus on the parks? Have you found new ways that you enjoy and look forward to going? There's a couple of ways that you can let me know. I'll post this question over in the clubhouse on Facebook at www.com/clubhouse. Better yet, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear your answer. You can call the voicemail. I'll play it on the air at 407-900-WDW1. That's 407-900-9391. And when you're ready to make your next magical memory or dining reservation or golf resort, whatever it might be, reservation, please go. I mean, don't go and visit Becky at her house because she won't be there, but go and visit mousefantravel.com.
We would certainly appreciate that because we love making magic. We love helping you experience the exact vacation that you're looking forward to. We don't charge any fees. We are free. Would love to help you find that magical vacation that's perfect for your family.
And she, like, you're real. I think sometimes, Becky, people hear like, oh, they say that they're free, but once they get me on the phone, it's going to cost me. Like, no, you get a commission from Disney. So all the services that you provide. And I know some people like, you know what? I just prefer to do it myself. I've got my nine, you know, what's-his-face's wife has got 9 months of spreadsheet planning, but you're able to do so much more and still afford people, again, that opportunity to create the vacation they want, take some of the stress out, and do some things that they can't do, like proactively seek out discounts.
Yeah, the other thing that a lot of people don't realize, again, the discounts is a big one. If we see that an offer has come out, we automatically, proactively go find it and apply it to your reservation if it applies. So you don't even have to worry about that. And normally you get that phone call of, oh my gosh, we just applied this vacation package to you, this offer, and we've saved you $600. What would you like to do with that? Do you want to move to a different resort? Do you want to use that for the dining plan? The other thing that's really...
Do you know how much dining damage I could do with $600?
Yes, indeed I do. I've seen it in full color. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is if you go and you book direct with Disney, you might be really missing out on options and opportunities like Wild Africa Track. They're not going to sit there on the phone and tell you about that. You'd have to do a whole bunch of research to figure out the things that are available to you. We'll take the time to talk with you and figure out what really appeals to you and your family, so we can match you to those experiences that are all around the Walt Disney World area or Disneyland or Disney Cruise or an Adventure by Disney. We can help narrow down your options, get you the best value, and add things that are going to add value to your experience.
Again, you can check them out, get any questions you have answered over at mousefantravel.com. Becky Mankin, this is always fun, especially when we are on a not so secret research mission that we will talk about. It is a mission.
It's not just a trip. It's a research.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, we will talk more about this coming soon. We have a lot of like fun stuff planned coming up. But this is always so much fun. I always appreciate doing those with you. And shocker, I'm actually hungry. If you could snap your fingers and eat anywhere in Disney World right now, where would you go?
Wow. That's because I'm not hungry, so that it's like shopping when you're hungry versus not hungry. I like want a dessert. What would I get a dessert? What dessert would I get? Give me a second. What are you gonna do?
Were you not paying attention to anything we discussed? Think about the time of night that we're recording. Why would you not snap your fingers, get that sweet spot at Waialulu Lounge? You can get yourself 17 cocktails. I can get a little nosh. You can enjoy the fireworks.
You didn't say cocktails. If you would have said, what cocktail would you like? Then yeah, that lounge sounds fantastic.
That's my travel. That's my travel. Get ready to put your Disney knowledge to the test with this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. Whether it's history, a hidden detail, or a classic quote or sound from the parks, this is your chance to show off what you know. Answer correctly and you can win a Disney prize package. This week's trivia segment is brought to you by the heart of WDW Radio, you. Because by joining the WDW Radio Nation family, you're not only supporting the podcast, live shows, and events, you are part of making real magic. Because for as little as $1 per month, you can enjoy monthly scavenger hunts, group calls, exclusive surprises, care packages from the parks, and much more. Plus, your support helps our Dream Team project, which has raised more than $550,000 for Make-A-Wish, bringing real magic to families in need. Learn more and join us over at www.radio.com/support. Now, before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So it is festival time once again in Epcot Center, and last week I asked you to tell me what is the name of the scavenger hunt that takes place during the Festival of the Arts featuring Figment. And the answer, of course, is
Figment's Brush with the Masters. And in this scavenger hunt, you help Figment learn about art by embarking on a scavenger hunt around World Showcase. You can buy the map and stickers for $9.99 over at the Creation Shop, Port of Entry, or World Traveler. Then you look for Figment hidden inside art-inspired displays at every pavilion, marked by a little Figment-themed picture frame. Add the matching sticker to your map for each find, and then once you complete it, return the map for a keepsake reward up until February 24th, 2025. And if you're like me, you will eat and graze along the way. Anyway, I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one, and last week you were playing for the WW Radio 3D keychain, the stickers, pin, a new vinyl sticker, and a mystery prize. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Jordan Mack. So Jordan, congratulations. Your prize package is already on the way. And if you played last week and didn't win, don't sweat it, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So let's stay in Epcot. Let's stay with the Festival of the Arts, because Figment is once again front and center where I think he rightfully should be. Look, I've always been a Journey into Imagination fan, including way, way back when it was really good at the very beginning, but I digress. Your question this week is to simply tell me what TV show helped inspire the creation of the attraction and our little purple friend. What TV show helped to inspire the creation of the attraction and, more importantly, our little purple Figment friend? You have until Sunday, February 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the form there. Once again, you're going to play for the keychain, the stickers, the pin, and a mystery prize. So good luck and have fun. Thank you so much for listening and being part of the WW Radio community and family. I am so sincerely and incredibly grateful for you, your time, and your support. And always remember, you aren't a fan, but a friend. And here on the show and everything I and we do together, it is all about helping you create magic, whether it is dreaming of or planning your next trip. Or if you are a creator or a solopreneur or an entrepreneur or business looking to learn from Disney and Walt's leadership to build your own dream, elevate experiences, and create lasting success, I would love the opportunity to help and work with you. So if you are looking to turn what you love into what you do and gain clarity, build momentum, and turn dreams into reality, I'd love to invite you to join me at my Momentum Weekend Retreat, which is March 14th through the 16th. It is an intimate, 8-person immersive retreat with just 2 spots left, and I've extended the super early bird discount. Or if that doesn't work for you, my Momentum Weekend Workshop is October 16th through the 20th in Walt Disney World, where you combine hands-on lessons with real-world strategies in a 50-person, one-room event and workshop to help you start, grow, and monetize your business. Don't wait. Super early bird pricing is on now. It does end soon, and the event will sell out again. To learn more or reach out to me if you have any questions, you can go to loumangiello.com, where I also bring Disney-inspired lessons to teams, students, and leaders, helping them create unforgettable experiences, foster innovation, and build a legacy of success. I would love to help you any way I can, so let's find out how we can make some magic together. And speaking of making magic, nice segue, Mangiello, wherever your travels might take you, please trust in my recommended partner for more than 17 years, MouseFan Travel, to handle all the details so you can focus on making unforgettable memories. With expert personalized service and absolutely no fees to you, they make planning completely stress-free. Get a free, no-obligation quote today over at mousefantravel.com and start planning your next adventure. And please remember that just because it is the end of the episode, it does not mean it is the end of the fun. Come be part of the community and conversation over in the WW Radio Clubhouse on Facebook. It is a warm, welcoming, friendly, family-friendly, drama-free community that I invite you to be a part of over at www.com/clubhouse. Call the voicemail with a question, comment, or just a hello from the parks at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1. Connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And don't forget to join me this and every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for WW Radio Live over on Facebook and YouTube. And of course, I still believe that nothing beats a handshake and a hug, so please check out our events page over at www.com/events for our next meet of the month in Walt Disney World, upcoming group cruises, including our group cruise on the Disney Destiny in February 26. Adventures by Disney, we have 1 spot left for our Adventures by Disney to Japan this May. We also have our Adventures by Disney to Disneyland in Southern California this summer, and our Adventures by Disney River Cruise on the Seine this September. Again, you can learn more about any or all these and get a free no obligation quote from Mouse Fan Travel by going to www.com/events. And I am super excited to announce two more upcoming events. First, I am thrilled to announce that I will once again be hosting a panel at MegaCon in Orlando on Friday, February 7th at 4 p.m. Join me, Becky Mankin, from the aforementioned Mouse Fan Travel, and my son, Nicholas, for an interactive discussion, Marvel at Disney, bringing the comic universe to life in the Disney parks and at sea. We're going to dive into how Marvel's characters and stories are brought to life in the Disney parks and on Disney Cruise Line. For more information and to get tickets, you can search MegaCon Orlando. And I am incredibly excited to finally be able to share how incredibly honored and grateful I am that I'm going to be also hosting a panel at Star Wars Celebration in Japan coming up this April. Our discussion about living your Star Wars story in the Disney parks is going to explore how Disney parks, resorts, and cruise line bring the Star Wars galaxy to life, how you can step into these immersive worlds and create your own narratives and live your own Star Wars adventures. I will once again be joined by Becky Mankin from Mouse Fan Travel for what promises to be an exciting and interactive session. Again, to learn more, go to my Instagram or Facebook, and we'll be chatting about these and other events, of course, over in the WDW Radio Clubhouse. And again, the best way to keep updated is with my free weekly email newsletter. There's no algorithms, nothing to check. It is delivered to your inbox every Wednesday. Just go to www.radio.com. You can sign up there. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show, tell a friend, take a screenshot, post it on social, tag me at Lou Mangiello. And thank you once again for your time. I know it is your most valuable commodity, for the gift of your attention and your friendship and allowing me to do and share what I love with you every single week. Please remember to be kind, choose the good, have a great day and even better tomorrow. And rather than ending by saying see ya, I will just tell you how much I love you, I appreciate you. So until next time, always remember, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day.
Hey Lou, it's Patrice Roberti from Metro Boston. It's Sunday, it is the 19th of January, and today at the gym I was listening to the YouTube that you did last week when you were, last Wednesday I guess, when you were there in Orlando in advance of the Podcast Hall of Fame, and you asked for honesty. So on that basis, I thought I would give you a call. You said when you were going to be accepting the award that it had nothing to do with you. Your generosity towards the people who listen to you, the community, the family that you built is beautiful and wonderful and excellent, and to your credit. But for you to say it had nothing to do with you, it has, it's both. It's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You were the little boy sitting there on the, having your picture taken in 1971. You were the kid who didn't have a lot of friends, but you liked what you liked and you kept pursuing it. You're the one who does these shows, who's up thinking about them, who's planning them, who's done the websites. So for it to not include you feels very wrong, and I can prove it to you how wrong it feels. What if Richard Sherman said to you, Lou, you're so wonderful, you love the music I do, it's all about you, Lou. My brother and I had nothing to do with it. You would say no, because you would appreciate it more, and you would love it more, and you would honor it more, and it's part of your own heart to say to him, of course it's you, Richard. Of course it's you and your brother, and it's your father encouraging you, and Walt Disney liking what you did, and Julie Andrews liking what you did. So you have to be in the picture. It's not all the community. It's not all you. But if you're not in there, it's not the same. Take care. Bye.